This morning I'm turning to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'll read to you from verse 1 to 3. And you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And this is the passage of our meditation this morning, and our subject is three woes of the unsaved. Three woes of the unsaved. Simple akai makai no ni simple ebe ni bihu na no pe na yejina so ni se amanihunu miensa wo ho ma won a won ji won kwa amanihunu miensa se enje yen kwa ye amanihunu a bible le beti na chire yen amanihunu a ye ho na verses are making ever my effort, Samuel. And so, these verses, first of all, I mean, before I come to the main matter, where I'll pick up on the verses, to give you just an intro to this chapter, Apostle Paul was reminding the believers in Ephesus that this book, the epistle was written by him to the Ephesian church, and that he was reminding them how God had awakened them from spiritual death into spiritual life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, this is all that salvation is about. Salvation is about the sinner's restoration to spiritual life. You may kind of say, I'm sorry, because I didn't hear something. Apostle Paul, and the true sons, and we come out, I swear, I know where if you so for all. And not all, Kaka, all said there in Yankupon, in Yanya, we feed Susum, who at Yamba and Qua, or Christopher. So these are that salvation is all about, and he just reminded them that we have been brought from such a state that all sinners are, that he has brought them from, God has brought them from such a state, and he has brought them into a new life in Christ Jesus. So, and indeed, such is the blessing or the blessed condition of all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, all who have experienced the new birth by the Holy Spirit, all who have repented of their sin and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning death for sinners on the cross of Calvary. This is the blessing that believers have from God, and from there all the blessings follows. They are going to say, in Ukraine, it can also be a jedi ni papa or Christo mua. Sa tibia yere, tibia, insha tibia, a one so. Na, if sa, insha tibia, a sha se omra, unya sa, unya obufro, yakubo mkongrobe, man of from a word from Christomu, and I'm saying Osaka Philip, one of ordinary red too, this Christo, our war Calvary, Ascendry, and so, see a born Ascendry, ordinary red too, so a pay Muka, so you have to put in channel. You want to see this to friend, more bad, no so, or the Hong Kong combat tonight, and with the one in channel. Sir, to be a Sandipano, yes, I've been a good one, Jimmy, two more, Satibiana, or Christo Nibia, a Inshatibia. Because that's the beginning of a life with God. And that is a beautiful and a wonderful thing. But then, that's not what you are going to think of this morning about that blessed state of believers. My concern is that in these three verses, there are three statements that Apostle Paul made in the, concerning the moral and spiritual condition of believers before their spiritual awakening. What I'm saying is that Apostle Paul, when he, these three verses, we have it here from him, he made mention of three things in these three verses that describe the condition of believers. He was referring to those in Ephesus, but it refers to all believers. The condition, the moral and spiritual condition they were in before God changed them. So it's a description that he gives, and that's the description of every sinner. So that's what he does. The Apostle Paul, they all make an answer. In some way, come far, see, we are Christopher, when you are Christopher, or more Abijna, if you see a job, all can send for me and say, no, Patrick, answer me, but you are more about Christopher, so I don't know to be at here. So when I start to be in, because I am here, I'm about to be a dream. And I start to be in a train, said, yeah, Nipibia or Tinibonim. How another money each of the statements shows the misery of the unregenerate person, the person who is not born again, the person who is not saved in this world and in the world to come. Sa tibia oka odin sam fo me sa eka ye no wo aye nje wo nkwa na se unya wo foro na oni Kristo ko no aye man hunu tibia na sa tibia no. And now, Tim will be asking any that if you are about the Google Co. I am an Utibia, and it is very important for us to know so that if we are in that state, then we do what God wants us to do so that each one of us will not be in that misery when he gets out of this world. So, and let me just pick them out. This in verse 1, he said they were dead in trespass and sins. Also, now, Omar is then Omar will inform Swanee Monimu. And another one too is in verse 2. They said they were controlled by Satan. So that the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, they were controlled by this spirit. And the third one, they were by nature the children of wrath. So Oma Usu Omunusu no more ebufu show ember. So I was Omu Yenji Wonkano Omu Wane Ene Funsuom. Almost so, confined, or when someone had done down my bravo, or when someone had shown me the Omoye or Bonim, and Tomoye and Paramoyas for them for in almost so, Oma Usuomuno, Omoye Yankupo, and Domus, and buy a book for Domus. The fact that you know, we are all baby, I say, I would say, but yet you are a free one more, not with his attitude. So, these are the three mysteries of the unsaved person. Dead in sin and trespasses, Satan under Satan's power, and also under God's wrath. You see? So, in thinking further about these three things, my first thing is that we look at they were dead in trespasses. So that all sinners are dead in trespasses and sins. And what does it mean to be dead in trespasses and sins? And this, first of all, is a spiritual death. Where sinners are insensible of their sinfulness. Because Obiwo Bonimu and then from Sumo, I soon Sumu, I Tibia, the Boyenino, the Bonyano, own him another on whom a Susan signs for, or Sepramba and Hano, and not Tibia, just a woo Bonim, son of Babonica. To be insensible that my sins are against God, and that one day I have to stand before Him for Him to judge me, so that this God has made provision for me to get out of my sin. But I sin and that is it. I don't care what will come to my life when I die, when I come to stand before God. Or I don't care what even in this life, what sin will do to me. It's a state of what? Spiritual death. So that I am in a state that I don't feel. It's like normally the Bible uses the state of lepers, the lepers person to picture this state where at the point that he doesn't feel any pain. I'm sure we know those who have leprosy, at the point their senses of feeling all goes off. If they can put their hands in fire and burn up, they don't feel it. That's the state that we picture. Insensibility is the state to be dead in sins and trespasses. By this, sinners separate from God. In this state, sinners separate from God, His will and His ways. You see, when people desire to live according to their own imaginations, in that state, they imagine their own laws. They determine what is right, what is wrong. For them, they don't care what the Bible says about what is right or wrong. What they care about is what they feel is right or wrong for them. This is a picture of somebody who is separated from God. His will and His ways And then also, and how do we see it further? We see it in every sinner's dislike for a life governed by God's law. The Ehunu Ebionu said, Sati dia way, Ehunu Obia Obonim to say, a pa, Nipano, Professor Bona Brava, Professor Nabrobo Shake, Yaku Pomra said, my bravo, Yaku Pomra said, the dad, my bravo. Said the airbone, Yaku Pomra, the same airbone, said the air papa, Yaku Pomra, the same airbone. May Professor Medim Professor say, Nemo, say, I'm in our town, I'm in our town, the same bomb in Brack. And no epic child said, Nipan, who won him? Because onyanti ebia mfa ma boni se biye boni a ya mie ni mi sei na ho ma. So this is a picture that is given to us, but we should know that by nature, by our natural birth, we are all sinners. You see when he said se de wo ye ba wi ase mu no nya ya de boyefo. Naturally we are all sinners. We are all born sinners. Nobody is born a good person. We are all born sinners. We inherit the sinful natures of our parents. They were born in sin, they also give birth to us in sin. And from Adam to everybody who comes to this world, we are all born in sin. And from our sinful nature, we live to sin. You see? Now, start to be any and if you are born, you are tenacity, you are trust your body. So you see, people don't sin because maybe they learn it from someone, they sin because they have that sinful nature. You see, we are sinners by nature. We have inherited this from our parents, and then we move on to sin. So that every actual sin we commit testifies that we are sinners. You see, it tells us that we have sin indwelling in us. So that naturally we are all dead in sins and trespasses. See, we are very asking what you will want him. So that whoever will depart out of this world in this condition will eternally be separated from God. Because while you are here on earth, you are separated from God. And then in the life to come, it's eternal. Whether you go to happiness, life, eternal life, or you go to eternal death, where you stay alive in misery forever, in torment of hell, whichever way you go, it's eternal. Abrabo e timu e aye tempura. Just a little bit a big cat. But that thing there, Abrabo, Abban, it's all about for heaven. No for down, come up with Apoji, a home with Christo. And now, so about Cobb on some gem, I find a woman, a Afribo. Wow, about Cobb, a Mubiano, a Afribo. So you see, but say, it's just out to be a Bible said, you will when you need them 1 year, who are Bible said, you could be some right now, you will be PF. So you see, when we live in this state as sinners, dead in sin and trespasses, separated from God, and we die, we are separated from Him forever. We have in this life we have some mercies. You see, God has not made it that this life should be a time of judgment. Yes, there are steps of judgment on people. That is not because we are not punished according to our sins. God has reserved judgment at the day of judgment, so that at that day when we are in this state of sin, we will be cast out from God. The reason is that sin defiles the soul and makes it unclean before God. The angel of us or better here if you say bonibiama ye kra ho kufi o ya mienim so they say bonibiama ye kra ho kufi ya mienim e ma ya mienim no ye ho nte. We know God is holy. God cannot live with sin. God cannot live with sin. So if we still keep our sinful nature and our sins, how can we go and live with Him? You see, we cannot go and live with Him. Because if we are not cleansed, then we cannot have access to Him even in this life. So you see, many people think they can pray to God and God should hear them. And their sins are not cleansed. It's never true. God deals with those who come to Him in the state that He has cleansed them. See, God only can cleanse us. And this cleansing has to do with His forgiveness of us and renew our hearts. His changing of our hearts. Sir, I'm not here now. I see you're here. You're born in one. And no, sir, I'm sure we have heard this term that the people have to be, I think it is spoken by the lawyer. What is the actual term? I said that if somebody is caught for contempt of God, he said that he should come and what? Clear himself. Or he said, well, is it cleanse or something? Like, he should come to the judges and come and clear himself. So when he comes and he's able to, I mean, they see that, well, either they will pardon him or whatever it is, and they say, no, you don't have anything against him again. So you see, in our case, we need to come to God for him to clear. We cannot clear ourselves. In the case of those who have been found contempt of God, they may go and clear themselves. They may hide their life. And for us, we cannot. In the case of our sin against God, we cannot clear ourselves. He has to cleanse us. Meaning he has to forgive us and change our heart. We cannot forgive ourselves, you see. If we are not cleansed, whatever religious deeds we do is vanity. See, and people who fear one and one. You see, always I tell people this, somebody has done a wrong to you. He has not come to tell you that he was sorry. How do you see the person? He has not come to tell, I will not do again, I'm sorry. What the hell? Each and every time you see the person, what comes to your mind? You always remember what he has done. And also, even if you are a Christian, you want to forgive the person, that thing is there. But somebody who didn't want to forgive, the thing is there that this person has done me wrong. Okay. Until he has come to do the right thing, and you say, well, I've forgiven you. The thing is still there for such a person. So that's the same way, until we have come to God, all the sins we have done is against us. You know, every sin is against God. Even the sins against our neighbors. If I cheat somebody, if I insult somebody, it's God that I'm sinning. Yes, it's true, I've sinned against the person. It's God I've sinned against. You see, it's like us, we live in Ghana. If I go and steal somebody's thing, and they catch me, they take me to the police station. Yes, I've stolen it from the person, but the state law will judge me. When I'm taken to the law court, it will not become like he and me. It's about me and the law of the country. You see, so when I even have sinned against somebody, yes, I've sinned against him. Yes, I have to make things right with him. But everything is against God. People sometimes want to make right with people, and then they forget. They think that when I've made it right with people, I've heard, I'm okay. No, before God, the records are there. You see, this is the necessity, the most important thing we are talking about here, about how we are before God. How we are before God. Send the TBO right here. See, if I have one in chair with any more, if we have seen, I will name. When you be a piano, a tear ready and coupon. Impossible, did you be at them? Many times, many parents are guilty of this. They insult their children, they think it's nothing. Every insult that everybody like do is against God. You see? It's against God. So that as somebody who God has given me, to come into this world, my life is not in my own hands. He brought me here for a purpose. You know, why God created man? For his own glory. So that man will live with him and man will obey him and be happy and live and to enjoy God. But then because of sin, we cannot. Because of sin, we don't want to do that. And so this is the reason why we all need the free forgiveness of God. God's forgiveness is free. You see, some people in this world are not all forgiveness free, that also. Sometimes you have to pay for what you have done. But before God, we don't pay for what we have done because He has given the Lord Jesus Christ to take the punishment for all that we have done. And it's a ban in China, aside the boy of one year, your best friend, and now Christo Sua, that or the one year. You see, God's forgiveness is free. I want to point a fact, you're free, you're the chakwa, because in Jiamka. Because every forgiveness is through the merit of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Christo Mojana, we should go to Calvary, and so far, so you're going to point a fact on the Mayan. And it's a ban in him near head, the Christo Aye, that's the idea, you're too so. That's the Christ we the bonnet and what's a chair, no the twin also. And we know or then whom I see and kuno. The mother share who you know the group so they have wife and so not the money yet. So my body name was a fine swap. A Bible said never in much. You know, the power in the blood of Jesus is in the ability to secure forgiveness for our sins. Tumi ya Yesu Kristo mmoja ni tumi ni se tumi enyama enya bone fache we radie ni. That's the power. There's power in the blood of Christ. Power. When we come to God, it's able to secure for us forgiveness. You and I, whose blood can secure forgiveness before nobody? But the power in the blood of Christ is that it's able to secure forgiveness to every sinner. Look at Apostle Paul. What was he doing? He was killing Christians. Is that not so? But the blood of Christ cleansed him from his sins. Let's think of every sinner. When we come to the Lord, he saves us, changes our heart. So we see that our faith in him who died on the cross of Calvary, the only savior of the world, that is the only hope of sinners. That's the only power that can change. I mean, bring forgiveness to us when we come before God. But before I move on, my question to you, has God cleansed your sin? Are your sins cleansed? Has God cleansed your sins? Has he cleansed your sin? Have you come to Jesus Christ? Have you come to him? Because, you know, when you go to visitation, evangelism, when you ask them, oh, yes, we have come and died for our sins. Then we go further. So has he died for you? Oh yes, he has died because he has. But have you died for you? Has he forgiven your sins? How do you know then? The person, if he doesn't, he pauses. Because the Lord will do something for us. But we have to come to him. If you have not come to him, then you also do so. Come to him now. Because, you know, the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us, can secure for us forgiveness before God. Yes, because we are going to be able to make a new one and fetch him. So, we won't buy any more bread, any more star, a fine soul. Should the Christ wear your Calvary? Sir, Okay, I'll go to my second point, and we are thinking about the three woes of the unsaved. And we are looking in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. So our second point is that those who are unsaved, they are subject to Satan's power. We have it in verse 2. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this verse tells us that all sinners, there's a power that is working in them, that is influencing them to sin. And Apostle Paul was telling the Christian believers that they were in that condition. Okay, so it's that the condition of everyone who is unsaved. So the first thing is that Satan is here described the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And this description fits him very well, and his demons. It fits them well because ever since man fell by his lies, he's always inciting people to sin against God. Satan incites people to sin against God. That is his word. That is his word that he does, to incite people to sin against him. The suggestion he gave to Eve was to incite her to rebel against God. So you see, the same thing he does with us. He influenced Judas to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure we know that. In Luke 22, 1 to 4, we are told at the point Satan entered him. Not physically, meaning he influenced him. Judas thought of doing evil, Satan pushed him. Because, you know, Judas was a covetous person. Satan pushed him. Because they are told that in Luke 2, 21-4, Satan entered him after the Lord Jesus Christ has even told them that one of them was going to betray him. The Bible told us that, and the devil entered him. You know, this is not said for vain. It tells us what Satan does with each one of us when it comes to sin. Said, Obunsamu ra Judas Muno. I actually know. And you're trying to talk again. Actually, maybe we're going some on me and if it be a idea. You see? And we also, we know in Acts chapter 1, verse 5 to 3, Ananias and his wife Sapphira lied to the church by Satan's influence. We are told, Peter told him, he has allowed himself for Satan to influence him to sin. This is an example for us to know that this is the work of Satan in the hearts of people, in the minds of people. See? And that is what the Bible, you know, nowadays, these charismatic things, they think of spirituality, spiritual things. They are thinking of delving into the spiritual realm. That is mysticism. The Bible doesn't teach us to do that. All that we should know about Satan and his demons are told us in the Bible, plain and clear. Though it's a spiritual matter, we are told to know it, so that when the actions or the act happens, we know who has done it. You see, we don't need to delve into mysticism. The Bible even forbids necromancy. It's something that those who don't know God, they do that. The Bible doesn't want us to go into mysticism. That's not spirituality. Spirituality has to do with holiness and righteousness. Living according to God's will, that's spirituality. Knowing that I am somebody who is under control, who has to live according to God's will, and seeking His help to be able to live that. Which begins when I have given my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. He has changed me, He has given me the new nature. That's the beginning of spirituality. Spirituality is about delving into mysticism. Because what about, this juju, and they also enter into that. And the God doesn't want us to go into that way. People who go to that, they give themselves to Satan. You know, this is how God wants us to know that Satan influences our minds and hearts because they're sinning us. And that's what we should know. Friends, every sinful thought that comes into the mind, Satan has a hand in it. Bonne bia ba bi mo e ba ye bia na ba ya nu e be ka na se e su ba bia na obun sa mo sa wo. You don't see, but the Bible teaches us. Satan has a hand in that. He incites lying, he incites fornication, he incites pleasure loving, he incites greediness, he incites selfishness, he incites hatred, he incites murdering, he incites slandering, Sabbath breaking, blaspheming, unbelief, all sorts of sin, many. Many, every sin. Yes, we desire to do, he fans it, you see. When we start a fire, it will be small, the smoke will not be very well. But when we put more fuel in it, what happens? It inflames. So when we come to the point that we are able to sin, Satan has got us. That's what he does with us. Judas, at the end of the day, he realized he has done wrong because the shame was coming to him. The Bible tells us he repented, he wanted to give the money. But no, at the point he was out of point, the money, I don't know what was wrong with the money. But when he has finished, he realized it's worth nothing. That's what Satan does with us. With all sorts of sin. And through Jeremiah 4, Remember when he came to Eve, he said, "Has God said this?" And he changed what God has said. That's how he does with us. This is what you have heard as the truth, but this thing is also true. And yet the word of God doesn't teach us. In 1 Peter 5 verse 8, we are told, Satan walks about seeking whom he may devour. We don't see him. He's not like God, he's everywhere. He has his host of demons all over. We don't know them. They are everywhere. He himself is not omnipresent, but he has his host of demons. It's like, you see how we have these telephone connections. That's what I picture it. That's what God. They are connected so that He's able to know things because He has this agent to work out. So, He's walking about seeking whom He may devour. Satan is not, and his demon, they do not devour people's destiny. You see, that's the common teaching now. God has blessed you, but then the witches in your home, then they are doing something to change it. No. Satan is not walking about to change your destiny in this world. He is walking about so that he will take your power against sin. You know why we fall into misery? It's only sin. When did misery come into the world? When Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed them because they have sinned. God cursed the world, cursed the earth. He said that you work and sweat and many other afflictions, thorns will come into the world because you have sinned. You see? Satan do not force anyone's destiny. whether sinners or unbelievers, our destinies are in the hand of God who gave us life. He's the fount of life. Satan don't have life. Yet, God can allow him to bring mysteries, but it's not in his hand. So that Satan has a free will to move about. No, he doesn't have that. Satan, is moving about so that he will devour your strength. He will see, look at your loophole, your weakness, so that you will sin. And the more you sin, you are separated from God. So we shouldn't see him as the caricature him as like some ugly person. No, he's moving about to egg us to sin. Satan do not care about your prosperity in this world, but the salvation of your soul. Because there are many rich people who never care about God. Why is Satan not troubling them? He doesn't care whether you be prosperous in this world or not. All he cares about is that you will not be saved. That you cannot come to Lord Jesus Christ and yield your heart to him. That you love your sin and sin and sin, and your mind is so darkened that the word of God has no penetration in your mind. So that you live on and you lack of sin. That's what Satan wants. So that you become like him. Because there, Satan and his angels are doomed forever. And he wants more people to come with him. They are doomed forever. They cannot repent. They cannot be saved. God did not send redemption to Satan and his demons. They fell before Adam fell. But God has stamped them with eternal damnation. And the Bible says they are waiting for that day. That is why it's proved that hell, eternal hell is true. Because Satan and demons are not going to be destroyed. They are going to be tormented forever. And all those, Revelation tells us, and all those who also sinned and never repented and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know, another thing, every motive to prioritize your bodily needs above your soul's needs is from the devil. Every motive to make your life in this world so important against your spiritual life, your relationship with God, is from Satan. Because the Bible warns us, don't just have a parable which tells us about how people give themselves to these things of the life, things of this life, and then their soul, they don't care about it. The parable of the rich man. It's when he has God plenty, so my soul eats for so many years, relax. And God, the Bible tells God gave you food. Today, your soul will be taken from you. Your life is not in abundance of the things you have accumulated, you see. So that any thought or motive that tells us to prioritize our holy one. And this idea is not so common on the internet nowadays. So, it's good to take care of our health, is that not so? It's good to take care of our bodies. But that is not our priority as a people that are accountable to God. You see, Satan will make you prioritize that. What my body needs is more important to me, so that I give attention to that and not to what my soul needs. But however, you know, Satan doesn't force sinners to sin. He doesn't force us to sin at all. He cannot force anyone. But what his tricks are? He makes sin to be attractive. That's what he does. Upon some, on so and self, chasing and quite bonny, the only thing is, on my bonny, by a conomaya, who is jay is to go. You see? Was on my home, on my bonny, a conoma, there's no return. Because you know, by our human nature, our sinful nature, when sin becomes, beautiful and nice and advantageous to us, we'll never get back. Satan knows that. You see, have you seen a cat and a fish? Let the cat see the fish and get a sense, do whatever, put a net there. And so if he cannot break through the net, he'll get to the fish and eat. That's how we are. You see how weak we are, you see, before God. Before God, you see, we don't have strength. And Satan uses that to us. So he dangles all the comfort of money, all the comfort money can afford to trap the covetous. Obviously, can you bring for upon some the how as he can for so far any advantage of a man or a boom at the final game? No, I can bring. And the Niska says, come over to me. Then, or the Hunya Masika, it is true, money helps us, and also. But Satan will let the covetous further think that if he doesn't have all the money he wants to seek after, he has not accomplished anything. He doesn't take care of his soul. And Satan will let the covetous go to that part. He lays the last fall into carnal pleasure. That also, he sees the person entertaining that fleshly, sensual desires that he fancies in with images. He fancies in with ideas. That leads, then the person falls into fleshly pleasures, fornication, all sorts of filthy things, you know. He urges anger in the heart of the impatience. Satan sees you are impatient person, then small thing he fancies to be anger, to be angry against people. And then what happens? You lose your temper, and some people through their temper, their anger, they cause go on to commit other sins. And with hatred comes in and all that, you see. Satan, he'll find you. You see, he knows our weakness, he knows us, you know. He whispers to the ears of the gossiper about others. You see, gossipers, what do? They tell, they speak about people to others. And also, so to the Satan knows for you, you are a gossiper. He finds people's things in your mind, and then he wants to tell people. That's what Satan does. He knows our weaknesses. We are weak people, you know. And that, so the description is fitting well. The Bible tells us that he is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So Satan has many cruel crafts. It is called cruel craft because anything that moves us to sin is cruel, because sin damns the soul. Upon some our acquire a year and time and other year dream one acquire power at the bias. We said acquire over first my one be an emma a crack in the right in chain. You see? And he knows that morally we are depraved. The human nature is depraved. And then he urges us on to sin. And this is the state of all who are unsaved. You see, this is the mystery. That I am unsaved, I have no protector, I have no guard, I have no strength against these tricks of Satan. Because the unsaved are insensible of the eternal consequence of sin. That's why you get the unsaved, because they are not alive to realize that, oh, all that I do against God, I have to stand before him at the day of judgment. And all that I do against, it makes me not to have his approval. It makes me not to live according to his will. I'm become like a prodigal before God. It doesn't make them realize that. So in that case, it deceives them to make jolly of sin. And people become worse and worse, and sin become like an entertainment to them. Have you seen in this entertainment industry, the music industry, the world music industry, how they don't care about sin? The movie industry, they don't care about sin. All the entertainment, they don't care about sin. The content, they don't care whether it will do something against God or not. They even make the pick Bible text, name of Jesus, God, and they quote it as if they are saying some serious, just to make a mockery. And it doesn't move them. And many people also watch it and they also laugh. You see how Satan, and when he gives us to sin, makes us become jolly. Sin becomes jovial to us. I know. It's like, if we love our sin, if we joke with things of sin, it tells that our heart is not changed. We are in that state where the Bible tells us that spirit that now working, children of disobedience, is working our heart to rebel against God. To rebel against God. Every sin that I give myself to or I entertain, it makes me a rebel against God. That's what, when we have been saved, it comes to our mind. That's why a true Christian is afraid. It's not that he will never sin, but he's afraid to sin. Because everything is against his heavenly Father. A good child wants the parents to be displeased with him or her. No good child will want to do that, you see. So that is it. The unsaved are always seeking to enjoy their sinful pleasures, and they feel no serious concern for their slavery in sin because they are dead in sin. And Satan urges them all. And in this condition, reconciliation with God through the atoning death of Jesus Christ means nothing to such people. Means nothing that God, by our sin, we are separated from him. God wants us to be reconciled with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sarah Sibia was said, after all, maybe one of them would be here. That's it. That's what many. I don't care about how God will be at peace with them, because they are in a state that Satan is urging them to sin against God. And then in this case, the unsaved then feel secure in the life of sin. They feel settled in the life of sin. And the most important thing to reconcile with God is not, well, they can be religious, they can go to church, they can do all sorts of things, but to know that God has been reconciled to me, that God has nothing against me, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has forgiven me, I say that I am the one, as in the Beatitude, I am each and every day hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Hungry, though I'm not righteous, but I am ever seeking that the Lord will make me a better person. I don't care about that. See? What a misery. What a misery. A creature with an undying soul who must give account of himself to God at the day of judgment and yet feel secure in sin. It's a misery. Say, me, body, me, what cry to me more, cry to me Ah, that's just a good thing. I'm going him now. Oh, boom, I tell me, one Not the one in the moil cream family. Because I am getting to this, going to be destroyed, punished, and taken away from this, I mean, merciful God who is so gracious and merciful forever. And I don't feel shame. I don't feel anything about sin that is taking me to that way. It's misery. And also, when we see people, even in this life, maybe a drunkard, you say, Oh, Kwame, could you, more insane on my house? Insane on my house? No, so, between your mushio. Then you pity such a person. Then also, we look at a drunk and, oh, Kwame Kojo, the more you drink, you see how it is destroying your life. And you say, oh, yes, I know, but I can't do anything about it. What do you think about it? You pity the person. Then also, I mean, then maybe their drinks are destroying him, but he cannot do anything about it. Such is the misery of every sinner who is unsaved. Sin is taking you to hell. Sin is taking you far from God, and yet, you don't care about it. See? That is the misery. Of the wolf of the unsaved, you know. It is more than misery, it's madness, and yet I fear that's the case of many. But the Lord help each one of us if we are in that state to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him. His forgiveness. My time is gone. I'll quickly look at my third point and I'm done. And it's in the third verse. The unsaved are under God's wrath. We have it in the verse 3. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, that is, our life, we live our life in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. See how the unsaved, the sinners, the Bible pictures them, they are what? Living the life by the lust of the flesh, they fulfill the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And the thing we are thinking of, God's wrath. The nature, by nature, they are children of God's wrath. What is God's wrath? God's, the wrath of God is just anger against sinners, from which he actually inflicts punishment to the unrepentant. So his wrath is not just he's angry and he cannot do anything about it. It is his hatred for sin that moves him to punish sinners. In Psalm 7 verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the sinner every day. So all sinners are by nature children of wrath. Oh, and God's wrath. So I look at myself, am I living my sin? God's anger is on me. And people may know, well, God has not punished us. God, Bible says God's anger is upon you because He doesn't have any, you don't have a relationship with Him. He's not your Father in His life. And when, as I said, in the life to come, He will not be your God in the life to come. It's the God's anger. And it's a serious matter, the wrath of God. Every sin brings me under His wrath. It is piling up for the day of judgment. But again, as I've said, all these woes are cleared off by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ removes God's wrath from the saved. See, that's why the saved, those who have been born again, they are free from God's wrath. in Romans, we are told there's now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus. For them that God has saved through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wrath is taken away. That's the one of the liberty, they say Christian liberty. The Christian liberty is that God will have nothing against us. His laws have nothing against us. Though we have lived as sinners, and as He has forgiven us and given us a new heart to love Him, a new heart to hate our sins, a new heart to give ourselves to Him, God has nothing against us. We are always striving after righteousness. You see, the wrath of God is removed from the sin because the sins for which God was angry with them have been cancelled when they came to Lord Jesus Christ and rested their hope in Him. God has, it's a cancellation, the cleansing of sin. That takes away God's wrath. That takes away the misery of the unsaved, of the unsaved, you see. Also, it is by God's wrath that sinners will suffer eternal hell. You see, when you think of eternal hell, it's because God hates sinners. And these sinners who will not be repent, who will not come to Him to change them, what do you think He should do with them? God cannot live with sinners. And the world to come is eternal. There isn't like this world where we are mixed up with good and bad. God is going to separate the good from the bad, and that it is eternal. Those who go to hellfire is eternal. Those who go to be with Him is eternal. So that it is God's wrath who keeps Satan and his demons and all the unsaved in eternal hell. The same wrath of God. So God's wrath is not, that's why it says God's wrath. It's not, we have human wrath. We can be angry and so, but we have no power to do what we are angry about. Then also, but for God, if He says He hates sin, He's able to actually punish every sin and every sinner. That's how He's the omnipotent God. He has power to do anything. His power stretches beyond all that anybody can do. So He's able to fetch all out. Remember Jonah? When Jonah was running, when God sent a fish to carry him, then also, He was caught in the fish, in the belly of a fish, to go back to do His work. God has power. He can do what He pleases, you see. Oh, God has power. So my coming to conclusion, my words, are you saved from your sins? Are you saved from your sins? Do you know that without salvation, you are doomed for eternal hell? When He says, not to Are you aware of that? You know, Satan and even his host of demons are afraid of God's wrath. In Matthew 8:28-29, the Jesus healing, before He went, when He entered to Gadara, where He healed that man possessed with demons, do not the demons, have you come to torment us? They saw the Son of God. Demons realize, you see, well, it's our time up. They know there's going to be a time of judgment for them. Are you coming to leave us alone? Are you coming to torment us? But you know, it wasn't time for them to be tormented. The Lord Jesus Christ left them, but their time is coming. And they are afraid for that day to be destroyed from God's presence. Friend, if you have not come to Him, you owe your heart to Him. You have to come to Him, call on Him, and ask Him. The Lord Jesus Christ has always opened His hand. He's ever willing to remove the wrath of God. He's ever willing to take away our deadness in sin, our insensibility in sin. He's ever willing to bring us to Himself and make us one of God's children. He'll take us to children who obey God, not children of disobedience. He'll take us from the power of Satan. Now, when God saves us, He illuminates our mind by the Spirit so that when Satan breaks his life, we catch him. So that's why it is believers, though by our weekly way, fall into sin sometimes, but we always see Satan's lies. Because we see that the Bible teaches about the things Satan used to trap us. So the Bible says, we avoid all appearance of evil, and I obey Him and I live my life like that. Satan will hardly get to me. And I'm free from him. You see. When you come to it, the Lord Jesus Christ, He only can free us from the power of Satan. You see people running to so-called prophets and all that, blah, blah, blah. Oh, come to Jesus. Nobody can secure you from the power of Satan. Those so-called prophets, whatever, they are in the hand of Satan. Because they are false prophets. They are not true. Only Jesus Christ can keep you. You don't need any prophet to protect you. You and I, we have access to God in this time because Jesus Christ. We can call on Him at any time. He'll come to our aid. Only if we come to know Him. We can call to Him. No, we don't need anybody to pray for us. There's no prayer warrior. In the Bible, anyone God saves has direct access to God. We are all priests. That's about pictures. every believer becomes a priest. We are, Peter said, we are what? The kingdom of priests, then also a nation of priests, because we have direct access to God. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.